I was talking to Pastor Porter on the phone, and I said, well, tonight we'll find out whether we want to believe in the virgin birth. Actually, that's not up for debate. But the soft answers to tough questions. Why soft answers? Because we are to love our enemies. And the tough questions we're dealing now about Jesus. And the skeptic's question is, how can you claim Jesus was born of a virgin? Well, let's examine what the problem is. The miracle of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ sounds to some like a fairy tale, or at least a religious myth, with absolutely no connection to reality. Historically, it has perplexed many people and has actually kept them from accepting the truth of Christianity, or their refusal to accept Christ led them to use this as a reason. However, without trying to say that this isn't a problem, it is a problem to these people, the Bible declares that God decided that his Son would have a miraculous entrance into humanity. And here's the thing. If you demand that only materialistic and natural events be considered as real, then you will reject every miracle claimed by the Bible, not just this one. If, however, you grant the existence of a God who has the power to do anything that he chooses, then miracles are possible, and within that framework, even rational. So what does the Bible claim? Well, the virgin birth was prophesied. Isaiah wrote about 700 years before the birth of Christ. And Isaiah wrote, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, not just a child, and shall call, or thou, O virgin, shall call, his name Emmanuel, God with us. Do you see how much of the story of Christ is there? Conceived in the womb of a virgin, that he would be a son, he would be a male, and that this name, this character that he will carry, is God with us. Well, that prophecy was in fact fulfilled in several passages in Luke 1. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor, this is the word grace, with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Old Testament name Joshua. Yahshua, Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah saves. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This is that word know, gnosko, to know by experience. She knew several men, of course. She was engaged to a man, but she did not have carnal knowledge with that man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. How can this be? With God, nothing is impossible. God can do all his holy will. So the revelation of the virgin birth, notice, is not given in mystical or symbolic language. It is not given as some part of a complex theological doctrine. It is simply recorded in the Bible as an historical fact. just says that's what happened. See, this isn't bound up with some way of thinking. I mean, if you read it and you believe it, that's what you have to say happened. It's given as history. Who wrote about this? Well, Matthew did. Matthew was an eyewitness to the events in the life of Jesus. Luke wrote about it. Luke, a physician, a doctor, researched the life of Christ many times, and we find often from the viewpoint of his mother Mary. He says that he actually spoke to the eyewitnesses as he introduces his gospel. So you can imagine sitting down with Mary and saying, when did you first know you were going to have the Christ child? She says, well, as you can well imagine, I haven't told many people this story. But an angel came to me. Now, the manuscript evidence shows that the passages in both Matthew and Luke are authentic. That is, there is no evidence at all that they were added to the text after legends were developed over hundreds of years. The earliest manuscripts all have this, just as they were copied from the originals. This is not something that was made up and added later. It's in the manuscripts. And then recognize that because of this, the virgin birth has been consistently believed. Ignatius, who lived at the beginning of the second century, the first century, you understand, is 0 to 100. The second century from 100 and ends with 200. This is very early. He wrote to the Ephesians and said, here's his quote, "For our God, Jesus the Christ," Jesus the Messiah, "was conceived in the womb by Mary according to a dispensation of the seed of David, but also of the Holy Ghost." See, a clear reference to what the angels told Mary. He believed in the virgin birth. The virgin birth was universally, by Christians, accepted in the Christian church by the second century. By that time, nobody was questioning it. And, except for some minor sects who, there's some people that'll believe anything, it was not seriously challenged until the 18th century. 17 centuries went by where everybody was content to believe this because the Bible said it. In the 1700s, the 18th century, that was when, especially in England, but all over Europe, they felt they were free to break from Roman oppression, Roman Catholic oppression, and instead of just turning, as Martin Luther was to do later, instead of turning from Roman Catholicism, they turned from Christianity because that was the only Christianity they understood. And so that's when this was held up to ridicule. This belief in the virgin birth is enshrined in the creeds that most Christians consider normative, the proper law, such as the Nicene Creed, in which it says, "incarnate of the Virgin Mary." In the Apostles' Creed, these are very ancient creeds, in the Apostles' Creed, "born of the Virgin Mary." And it is a basic article of belief in Roman Catholic, in Orthodox, like the Greek Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox churches, most Protestant and Baptist churches, and even Muslims, according to the Quran, accept the virgin birth of Jesus. So this is not something that some group of radical weirdos have come up with and believe, and we're the only ones. Now the question may be asked, though not easily answered, why did God use the virgin birth? It's not automatically apparent. So I will say this, perhaps God chose to bring Jesus into the world by the virgin birth for several reasons. One of these has a strong biblical reason to it, the last one I'll mention. The others are men's thoughts about it, and so you're free to take it or leave it. First of all, Christ was pre-existent. It seems as though his birth ought to be different because his birth was, in fact, different from everybody else because he existed before he was born, where we begin our existence at the time of our conception and birth. His birth was a child is born, but also a son is given, you see. Christ was pre-existent. First, the Bible teaches that Jesus, the Word, became flesh. He was with God, was himself God from the very beginning. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. This fact of Christ's pre-existence is testified many times in the New Testament. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's the very name of Jehovah, the I Am. An extended passage in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. The apostle says, let this mind, this way of thinking, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This attitude, let it be in you. Here's what attitude he's talking about. Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Robbery here is the idea of something to be grasped, something to be held on to. He was God, but he didn't hold on to that, but made himself of no reputation. This is literally, he emptied himself. He couldn't be a person walking the earth that was also omnipresent. Once he became a material being, he couldn't be omnipresent because then he'd have to fill up every existing spot of the universe. He was still omnipresent, but not in his human body. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He says he came as a human, but he existed as God before that. Colossians 1:15 and 16. Who is Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. You get the idea that if he created all things, he had to exist before all things were created. All things that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, this is categories of angels, all things were created by him and for him. As the whole cycle of things comes back around, he gets the kingdom, he owns the earth. So when Jesus came into the world, he was not newly created as we are. Our life began at the moment of conception. But he was rather the eternal Son of God. To be born into this world of the Virgin Mary required divine intervention. Some special work had to be done. Perhaps that was evidenced by the virgin birth. And that special intervention is just what the Gospels record. A second reason why perhaps the virgin birth is that Christ was sinless. All of us received the sin of our father Adam upon us, but he did not. Perhaps there had to be something different about his birth. The second reason why God may have chosen to use the virgin birth is to bring Jesus into the world because of his sinless nature. A basic New Testament teaching is that from the day he was born until the day he died, Jesus was without sin. To be a perfect sacrifice, he must himself be perfect without sin. without sin. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Lamb had to be spotless, without blame, without problem. Since our human family was contaminated by Adam's sin, some sort of miraculous entrance into the world would be required. Perhaps in God's understanding, this necessitated the virgin birth. This has caused a lot of people to say, well, that means that the sin gene is passed down through the father. It's taking us well beyond what the scripture actually says. may be true, but we don't know. So I'm saying perhaps. It's a very firm perhaps, but that's as far as I can go. Now, this last one, to me, comes the closest to an actual scriptural argument for the virgin birth, and that is Christ will rule on the throne of his father David. There's a lot of our Reformed friends who talk about Christ on his throne. To be precise, he says, there's going to be a day when I have my throne, and you Christians, the Christian church, will sit with me on my throne as I am now. I conquered, and I am sitting on my Father's throne. Other terminology is he's at the right hand of the Father. Evidently, it's a bench throne. He's sitting on the throne, but it's his Father's throne. And so he's the right-hand man of the one on the throne. We will be the right-hand people on his throne. But those are two different thrones. The throne of his father, David, was an earthly throne over an earthly kingdom, you see, not a heavenly throne. That's not David's throne. And that's the promise. Third reason could be that if Jesus had been sired by, for instance, Joseph, he would not have been able to assume the throne of David. Why not? Jeremiah 22:28-30. Here is the prophecy about a king named Jeconiah, shortened down to Coniah. Is this man Coniah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David, ruling any more in Judah. The kingly line from Solomon came down to Jeconiah. His sin was great enough as they went into Babylonian captivity that God says the kingly line ends with him. None of his children, those in the kingly line, will sit on the throne of David. Very, very clearly prophesied. Yet the Messiah is to sit on the throne of David and is to be in the line of David. How can we work this out? Here's a problem. It takes the wisdom of God. There could be no king in Israel who is a descendant of King Jeconiah. Now, Matthew chapter 1 gives us the genealogy of Matthew, Jesus Christ's adopted father. In verse 12, after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel. Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Now, that quote is not one of those that you say, my, what a blessing. You know, it just lets us know that Joseph was by lineage of the kingly line, and the kingly line through Jeconiah. So the question asked, he was in the kingly line, could he sit on the throne of David? No, because he was of the line of Jeconiah, and that had been cursed. So if Jesus had been fathered by Joseph, he could not rightly inherit the throne of David, because he would have basically inherited the cursed line. Well then, how is he to be a son of David? Well, it ends up Mary, in the genealogy in Luke, comes from the line of David. but not through Solomon, through David's son Nathan. So both of his parents were in the line of David. His adopted father was in the kingly line. When he took him to be his son, Jesus entered the kingly line without the genetic curse. So the conclusion, the virgin birth of Christ is therefore not only a historical fact, but a necessary historical fact when one considers all the data. So the only truly spiritual, truly scriptural argument is this last one. I don't see any way around that. To be a son of David, Mary had to be a child of David, in the line of David. To be the king, he needed to be in the kingly line. God could overrule that, but you know, the normal way of looking at it, you have to be in the kingly line. But he ended up being in the kingly line by adoption and not by genetic reproduction. Comments or questions on the virgin birth, or what we've been talking about the virgin birth?